7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with another amazing Croc podcast for our amazing Croc survivor slash thrivers. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. How are you, my friend?
I cannot believe that we are just cruising along and having such an amazing month of March. I'm excited. How are you?
Oh, my God. Just fantastic. I really enjoyed our last module on trying to help our survivor slash drivers get to where they want to be the person they want to be. And we're going to do a little bit more of the same but different, as my kids would say, same, same, but different. And tonight we're going to be talking about something that I think is very important to me, and I hope it'll be important to our survivors. So, Angel, what happened this past Tuesday?
All right, this past Tuesday? Oh, my goodness.
In the Hudson Valley.
Well,
that's like asking you to go back in time to the dinosaurs. I know the way your life is.
No, that's okay. I remember it was a snowstorm.
The snowstorm. And that's sort of the theme of today's podcast. When we came into work on Monday, all of the reports, all of the weather channels, there was a winter storm warning, warning of potential harm to property and to life and limb and potential fatalities. And on Monday, we all sat down as a department. We spoke to the middle managers, the upper managers, and the cancer center. And the decision was we were going to close down the cancer center on Tuesday. Told all the patients the infusion center was closed, radiation was closed, and I was going to have what was going to be a unbelievably, like, just a gift. A day to catch up on everything, a day to catch up on all of the crap that's been just accumulating and accumulating and accumulating for months and months and months and months into years and years and years and years. And that snowstorm was going to be, that was going to be the day that I was going to get everything done. Now, Angel, ask me if I got half of the things done.
I was ready for you. I was ready to talk because I was going to say, okay, the number one question is, but I'll answer it your way. Did you at least get half of it done?
I did not. Ask me if I got a quarter of the way done.
Did you get a quarter of it done?
I did not. Ask me if I got a tenth of the way done.
Did you get a tenth of it done?
I did not. Ask me if I did anything.
Did you do anything?
I did nothing. So what happened with that snowstorm was it knocked me off of my perch from a series of events, from a series of plans, from a series of desires and intentions. Something knocked me off of my center. The thing that makes me knocked me off, and I absolutely got zero done. And as I came back, now, you know, Wednesday was not an easy day, because if you close the place down for a day, you're going to do double work on Wednesday, Thursday. Ship finally settled a bit on Friday, now working all weekend to catch up. But knowing that and having gotten everything done, and had I not been rocked off of my center, I would have taken it. I would have signed my name down immediately. But the double whammy of not only getting behind at work, but not catching up in real life, that just destroyed me. So then I thought a little further, Angel, and I said, listen, if something as silly as that can throw me off of my game or take me off of my center, imagine the challenges that our survivors and our thrivers have just staying centered themselves. In a life that is far more challenging than anything I could even imagine. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about finding your center, being your center, and keeping your center, and how we can prevent those snowstorm days, we'll call them, from spiraling out of control. And we're going to start with a very, very unusual geometric pattern called a hexagram. Do you know what a hexagram is, my friend?
You know, it's funny. I'm embarrassed to tell you that I do. I know what it is. Can't picture it. So I know the name. But guess who does? My four-year-old daughter.
No. I bet you she does. She knows all of her shapes. So the hexagram is a very, misunderstood, I guess you would call it, symbol. So first of all, Croc Nation, Angel and I are not, Satan worshipers. We're not talking about a pentagram. We're not talking about anything evil or terrible. Actually, a hexagram has a very, very long history and is steeped in religious tradition. And it's basically it's not a natural shape. It's not like a rectangle or a square. It's really two equilateral triangles that are basically connected. And that's what makes the 6 points to the hexagram. It has religious implications in, of course, in Judaism, right? The Star of David, in Christianity, in Buddhism, in Hinduism, in Muslimism, and of course, even in Christianity. It has magical, sometimes supernatural connotations, and it is sometimes associated with the occult, but again, much more in a spiritual sense than in any kind of nefarious evil sense. So the way I look at the center, our center, I look at it as a hexagram with 6 points. And the funny thing about a hexagram is that the 6 points are going to be the same for everybody. And I will go through the 6 points, but the beginning point is going to be different for everybody. So everyone is going to have their own starting point and need to identify each of the 6 points and how it relates to each of your lives. So you have philosophy, attitude, spirituality, mood, that is one of the points. Your relationships, that's another point of the hexagram. Your professional life is another part. Your family is another part. Self-expression and your expansion is another part. And self-care, health, fitness, that's the last part of the hexagram. So you have 6 points of your center. And everyone will, as we go through the podcast, I'm hoping that every single one of you, will be able to define and draw your hexagrams and put in, each of those six, parts to the, each point to the hexagram. But then you're going to put your number one, your number two, your number three, number four, and none of us are all going to have the same. So I also wanted to do an exercise, Angel. I wanted to, again, stress the importance of knowing your center and keeping your center as the number one priority. And I'm going to take my stupid snowstorm experience and I'm going to compare and contrast it to a real life problem that a cancer survivor / thriver would have to deal with and how we would look at it the same. And there's also 6 points of evaluation in this exercise. So we'll look at me in the snowstorm and what it did to me. So first of all, what started that cascade for me? And then we're going to look at the cancer survivor. And it's going to be, the analogy is, it's the week that they're waiting for the results for one of their tests. So they've been diagnosed, they have had their treatment, they've been out in survivorship for a few years, and it's time for their restaging, CAT scan, PET scan, mammogram, whatever it happens to be, PSA level, and now they're waiting for the results. So for me, that snowstorm is going, work is done, there's no work for the day. I have everything written out, in my OCD way as far as what I have to do. And the first thing I do wrong that knocks me off of my center is I didn't get up early enough. So, I took the dogs out. What they had to do. I fed them. And then for some reason, instead of starting my day right then and there, I ended up going back to bed and sleeping an extra whatever. So that was the first thing, that cascade. What is that point in the hexagram that knocks you, starts beginning that process? Then you're supposed to, in my world, in my hexagon, I look at my self-care, my health, and my fitness as being the first point of my hexagram, or what keeps me centered. And I didn't do, and I said, okay, I'm too tired. I'm not going to work out now. I'll work out later this afternoon. That's number two. That began the cascade. So now let's turn the tables. And now you're a cancer survivor out there waiting for your PSA, waiting for your mammogram, waiting for your CAT scan. And what starts the cascade for you? So does the cascade start by talking to a toxic individual? So you have a neighbor, one of those know-it-all neighbors that knows everything, and, oh, you have your PSA pending? Oh, man, it better be good. It better be the same as it was last time. It better not be any more, or you're going to be dead. You're going to die. Or I had a cousin who had what you had, and, boy, they only lasted a year. I don't even know how you made it another year. You know, then that starts knocking you. You know, all of a sudden it's starting to push you off the center. That Jim Carrey movie, remember, was it Ace Ventura when the guy who was on top of the pole had to stay, you know, in order before he got married, he had to stay on top of the pole for, yes, a few days, and he was shooting spitballs at him.
Yes.
So his center was that pole, and Ace Ventura was trying to knock him off of the center. So talking to a toxic individual might be that situation. Or you might go to Dr. Google and you might say, oh man, what happens if this happens, or what happens if that happens, or what happens, you know, and you start doing that whole, your whole mind then goes into a tizzy. Or you can go into my chart and read a negative report, but because of the wording, because we've talked about this on the podcast, how doctors use, you know, really ridiculous language that no one could understand, and so scary that you read that chart and you think you're going to die when it's really a good report. So whatever it is that knocks us off the center, that first point of your hexagon, you know, that first point of the hexagon that we have to start, that one point, it might be your spirituality, where you get up in the morning and do your gratitude exercises and you pray to God and you humble yourself before your creator. That might be that first part of your hexagon. And if you forget to do that, or you don't do that, you know, that might start that cascade knocking you off. Number two is the question or the phenomenon of desire. Now, we think of desire sometimes in a very sensual/sexual way. We think, I'm desirous of this beautiful woman or this handsome gentleman or whatever. I don't mean it in that sense. Desire is a terrible thing to have. Desire is when you want something, or you have an agenda, or you are stuck just thinking, if I don't get this, then like the world is going to just basically stop spinning, you know. So I was desirous of having a day of production. I was desirous of having, it was my, in my mind, I didn't have any forgiveness. I didn't have any sort of, hey, everybody needs a down day. Everybody needs a day to stay in bed and watch movies and eat popcorn or eat ice cream or whatever. Everybody deserves a day where they don't take a shower and they just wallow in their own stink for the whole day. Everybody needs a day like that. That's like the day where I picked you up for the Mets game. You were like all sorts of going for that day, and I just dragged you out of that day. So that's number two. For the cancer survivor thriver, you know, you desire to have a really good outcome, right? You desire to have a negative test result. You desire, you know, to want to live forever. And that's completely normal. That's a very normal thing to have. But every time we become desirous, it's usually a bad thing. We need to be more, just let life unfold and unravel in front of us, and we'll deal with whatever it gets thrown our way. We're just going to deal with it rather than being desirous. We're going on vacation. It better not rain. Or we're going on vacation, I hope the plane isn't late. Or we're going to visit my, you know, my mother-in-law, I hope she's not nasty. I mean, it's just go and just be, you know, don't be desirous. Part three is that in my world of, you know, and again, everybody is always overwhelmed, right? It's that tight, it's that kind of world right now. Things are not simple. When I first grew up in the 1960s, right? Life was much simpler. Now things are much more complicated. Everybody has a billion things going on, and you can get overwhelmed. So the secret to being overwhelmed is rather than look at the whole picture of all the things you need to do, you just take it in small chunks. So had I done that and said, okay, well, listen, guess what? Things aren't going my way. I woke up late. I didn't get my workout in. I'm going to do it now. Everything else is going to wait. I'm not going to get everything done. Let's try to get 30% of what I want done. You know, let's just cut it in and forget about even 30%. Let's just get the first thing done. Let's take that first step, get that one thing done. And then from there, maybe gain a little momentum, get the second thing done. And who knows what could happen after that. For the cancer survivor, it's overwhelming just to be a cancer survivor. It's overwhelming to just kind of get through a day. It's overwhelming to deal with all the side effects of your treatments and your surgeries and your radiation and your chemo. And then you have your personal life to deal with. I mean, it could be very overwhelming. And some days you may not just want to get out of bed. So, you know, that would be the third part of the six-part series of trying to figure out what your center and how to stay in your center. Self-esteem. So now it's noon and I just had my lunch and I haven't gotten anything done. I'm starting to really feel bad about myself, Angel. I haven't gotten my workout in. I'm starting to feel terrible. I'm starting to feel lazy. I'm just feeling like the worst, most, you know, worthless pieces of you know what in the whole universe. And imagine the cancer survivor, how their self-esteem, like what happens if my test is positive? You know, I already have issues. I mean, I've been butchered. I've been mutilated. I'm not the person I used to be. I used to be able to run marathons. Now I'm lucky if I could walk up the stairs. You know, we already have that self-esteem issue in us. Imagine now adding to it with now being completely, you know, preoccupied with the results of a test. Self-esteem is going to go straight down the window. And then you're going to start getting angry. But the anger isn't going to be at my friend Angel. The anger isn't going to be at the snowstorm. The anger is going to be directed inside. We're going to be angry with ourselves because we didn't do what we thought we were going to do. And then, you know, you could be angry at yourself as a survivor that you're feeling the way you are about being so anxious about your test results. So now you're starting to get angry and you're starting to, you know, starting to get all worked up. And finally, you know, you become what I became that day. You become completely non-productive. So everything that needed to be done that didn't get done, it just continues to spiral. And it's the same for a survivor / thriver. But not only is it the same, but it's far more, you know, I guess relevant. It's so much more true for you guys than the silliness of what, you know, I might feel. So that's really, really crazy. You know, that walking you through the analogy of my little silly, you know, bad day on Tuesday. And I'm not trying to compare it to what you guys are going through. I'm just kind of using it as a sort of a test case to kind of compare it to what you guys go through. So Angel, you know that we don't just bring up problems. We try to offer solutions. And I do have a 5-part solution. I couldn't get the symmetry of the 6, 6, and 6, but that's good because we don't want triple sixes on this podcast, right? No. We're not about, you know, Damien and the Omen, right? We're not about the Antichrist. We're the opposite. So we'll end it with, you know, how do we now keep our center? So the first thing, Angel, any guesses?
Theories, but go ahead.
Well, the first one is I think you would agree. And again, you also not being a survivor, you can kind of probably more relate to me. You would agree that every time you've been knocked off your center and you just came back from a, you know, a period of burnout where you took some time off of your podcast to just kind of get your center again. And, you know, you had the sick kids and, you know, not feeling good and working triple shifts and the whole thing. So you would agree that 99% of the time, the things that knock us off our center never turn out to be important things.
Absolutely. You know,
they're just very bogus, silly, stupid things like this snowstorm. If it is legitimate and just say it's a problem, and when I say a problem, I mean a problem, you know, then this podcast doesn't pertain to that. I mean, anybody who's human is going to be knocked off their center by devastating news or a devastating event. This is only for the 99% of the time where it applies for a completely, you know, meaningless, silly thing that never transpired. The thing that we think is going to turn out never turns out to be what it is. So that's the first thing to keep in your mind. And then I want you guys to go out there and I want you, if you don't know what a hexagram is, go to Google, find out what a hexagram is. I want you to draw a hexagram. Then I want you guys to put in that hexagram starting from the top. I want you to put in the order of the things that center you. So again, we'll go through those six things. One is your spirituality. So your life philosophy, your attitude, your spiritual mindedness, that type of thing, your mood. Then you have your relationship with others, not including your family. So how you relate to others, to friends, to colleagues, to coworkers. You have your professional life, you know, how you go out there and make a living, what your vocation is. I don't care if you're a doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief, candlestick maker, Indian chief, anything, doesn't matter. Whatever it is that you do is holy and worthwhile. And that's part of your hexagram. That might be number one for some people. It may be number six for other people. Who knows? Self-care, health, and fitness, which is my starting point. Self-expression and expansion. Everyone out there needs to express themselves. Everyone out there wants to feel loved. Everyone wants to feel worthy, you know, especially our survivors. So that's an important one. And then, of course, your family. So those are your 6 points. Draw your hexagram and then put in the order of your hexagram. And then you have found your center. Once you have found your center, then you go back to the 6 points that we just talked about. We talked about, you know, what starts your cascade, what are you desirous of, what makes you overwhelmed, how is your self-esteem, how is your self-feeling, your self-anger, your self-hatred, and what is your productivity level. Then you put those two things together, and that will keep you centered. If you're able to get up every day and identify your hexagram and identify the things, and then try to stay away, start your day in a way that will begin spinning your hexagram in a clockwise fashion, and everything will spin beautifully for the day. And then at the end of the day, you will feel balanced. You will feel that you have found your center. You will feel that you have been your center, and you feel that you have kept your center. Angel Santana, your thoughts.
I think this was a great episode. I think that everybody on any given Sunday will find themselves off-kiltered, so to speak. And I think that, you know, on a side note, knowing who you are as a person, and I think that I can speak for the whole Croc Nation, in a way, yes, if it wasn't for this snowstorm, it wouldn't have probably given you an episode. However, I think it gave you something that you didn't realize you needed. I think you needed a break. You needed to rest. And it was the only way that you were going to get it. So yes, in one aspect, the episode, I believe, is for a cancer survivor. But I think that it was needed for it to happen to you so that you can utilize that experience to show others what could happen to them.
Angel Santana, your words are wise, as always, my young brother. Can't wait to hear you preach tomorrow. Will people be able to go back and archive your sermon tomorrow if they want?
Yes, it will be actually recorded through Zoom. So there will be a video format that I'm going to re-edit and retouch up and put it on my actual website. And also it will be on our YouTube channel, which...
Oh, fantastic. That's great. Yeah.
So it'll be fantastic. Good.
Super duper. Rod Friedman, Small Biz Up. Thank you for everything, my friend, for everything you do for the podcast and everything you do for our cancer survivors. If you guys are out there and want Rod to make a web page with your hexagram, I'm sure he could do that for you. And you guys can check your center anytime on your iPhones or on your Androids. Michael John Benzea, who's Mikey's doing really good out in Hollywood, by the way. He sent me some pictures. He was rubbing elbows. He sent me a picture with him and Heidi Klum. And, you know, he's looking beautiful and doing great. He sent me a little clip for one of the shows he's on. So
I watched it live.
Yeah, he's doing really, really well. Michael, we wish you the best. Charlotte Larson, you're such a dear person, such a dear woman. Thank you for your kindness, your generosity, and for your belief in us. The board of directors, April is coming up soon. Can't wait to get some dinner, you know, and, you know, put on the feed bags and talk about some great stuff. I'm sad to report that Rebecca's son, Kyle, lost in the NCAA tournament today to Tennessee. He is the center for Duke, one of the top collegiate players in the country. Rebecca, God bless your family, your beautiful children, you know, and Kyle and Matt, who are out there setting the world on fire. And listen, you know, what we tell everybody is sometimes these losses are sometimes blessings in disguise. We hope that Kyle's having a great freshman year at Duke and doing well. And I believe Maddie's at Harvard, and I'm sure he's doing fantastic as well. And to the rest of the board, thank you for all your time and all your efforts on behalf of our cancer patients. And that leads us to you guys, the cancer survivor thrivers. This is your pep talk. You guys are going through so much. What a silly thing that I was so distraught over a snowstorm that took me off of my game and took me out of my center. Imagine if I really had to deal with the anguish that you guys have to deal with on a daily basis. The side effects from your therapy, the side effects from your cancer, the anxiety of being a survivor, the thought of your own mortality, the thought of how you have to go to work not feeling well or being in pain. And I'm worried about just not getting a few projects done. Well, God bless you guys and shame on me. I want you guys to know that we here at the Krog Podcast think you guys are very special. We think you guys are very worthy. We think that you guys are very amazing. You guys are supported. You guys are loved. You guys are acknowledged. You guys are amazing. We always want you to feel that our center professionally in this part of our life with our not-for-profit for our, you know, Citizens Reunited to Overcome Cancer, that our center is you guys. And that I can say with confidence, Angel, that that is a center that we will never be knocked off. No matter how many spitballs that Jim Carrey shoots at us, we are staying up on that pole forever for you guys.
Here.
We end this podcast the same as we end each podcast, wishing you all a very long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.